What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. And this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thought I would tell you that right off the top. Nice to have you here. What's going on? Welcome to the program. All right, setting up a little bit differently today. We normally have three interviews. We normally do not have them in hour number three. Yes, we do. All three, back to back to back. In the third hour, meaning the first 2 hours are wide open, you should call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. Three really good interviews, but they are in hour number three. So you have your phone number. If you want to find me on Twitter, I would encourage that. My Twitter address is at Jim Rome, and you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews are as follows. Coming up at the top of the third hour, Pittsburgh Steelers great Troy Polamalu. Steelers are having a great year. When you consider everything they've been through, the injuries, the adversity, the drama, Mike Tomlin doing a great job, they've got a shot at a playoff spot. Troy Polamalu joins me in hour number three. Also in the third hour, the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. And in hour three, Seattle Seahawk, Jadeveon Clowney. In fact, I want to start with the Seahawks, but don't wait on me. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Oh, and a What's Your Beef Day. If you've got a beef about anybody or anything, I will have that a little bit later on. You can call me with your beef, tweet your beef, email your beef. All right, starting with the Seahawks. I mean, say what you want about these guys. You will always get your money's worth when you watch the Seahawks play. You're guaranteed that it's going to be a close game and that Seattle's going to find a way to win. And they did it again last night. They came up with a critical stop when they had to have it. They beat Minnesota 37-30. And now here's something for all you people who hate Pete Carroll, who hate Russell Wilson, who hate the Seahawks, and who hate the 12s. Seattle is 10-2. Seattle is tied for the best record in the NFL. Seattle is in first place in the NFC West. And even more unsettling than all of that is they're playing their best football right now. You know, despite all that talk about the Patriots, the Ravens, the Saints, the Niners, fact is, the Hawks might be the best team in the NFL. They might be the team to beat in the NFL. And no, last night was not about Kirk Cousins coming up short in primetime against a great team. We all know the numbers, him on the road, him in primetime, him on Monday night. That's not what that was about. Because that was an impressive showing by the Vikings, especially after Dalvin Cook went down. And for a moment, it looked like they were going to rip that game. So last night was not about what Minnesota didn't do or couldn't do. It was about what Seattle did do. What Seattle always does, find a way to win, find a way to finish. And if you hate the Seahawks, that's got to be pretty unsettling. And the most unsettling part of last night was not the 24 straight points they scored in the second half to take control of the game. It was not the receivers breaking out a perfect new edition dance, although that was pretty sweet. It was not the running game dominating, although that was huge, and I'll get to it in a minute. No, to me, the most unsettling part about last night was this moment.
Michael Dixon will punt. Oh, it's a fake. It's to Homer, who is the protector at the 30. Up in your side, the 40. The 50 got a block at the 45. Down in your sideline, the 40. And the fake punt brings the Seattle Seahawks down to the 38-yard line of Minnesota. What a call! What a call!
Westwood won. That was a brilliant call. That was a genius call. That fake punt on 4th and 3 from their own 32. With a 10-point lead, perfectly executed, but it wasn't unsettling because it picked up the first down. Hell, they didn't even score on that possession because DK Metcalf fumbled a few plays later. No, what's unsettling about that play is not the fact that they ran it so well. It's that they ran it in the first place, a fake punt on their own 32. Unsettling because that's Pete Carroll. Peter. BBP, Big Balls Pete, Vintage Carroll. And what's unsettling if you hate him or you hate them is that he's feeling it with this team. Pete Carroll is back, baby. Moves like that have been his trademark. Go high risk, when the opponent least expects it, and then know your team will back it up. That's the bubble yum chomping legend at his best. That tells you the kind of confidence he's got in his team right now. You may not know what he has in this team, but he obviously does. He's feeling it. And this Seahawks team is finally playing the kind of ball that he wants them to play because the running game showed up. Chris Carson, 23 carries, 102 yards, a TD. Yes, he's prone to putting it on the ground, but he runs hard, puts up big numbers. Rashad Penny, 15 rushes, 74 yards, a rushing TD, four receptions, 33 yards, a receiving TD. So they had 218 rushing yards against a Viking defense that allows less than 95 per game. No wonder Peter was fired up in the postgame presser, hyping his running backs and talking about how much fun it was.
Yeah, it was so much fun to see those two guys battling out.
That's true. Get a couple of guys, either one of them looking like they could carry the load. I mean, you hear that, right? Fun. Dudes battling. Classic Peter. And then Pete Carroll had even more Pete Carroll.
They're just playing. And then when we see how the game goes, we might give a guy a few more here, a few more there. We don't know, you know, because they're both really good. We love them, and we just play them. Chris is the starter, and so he winds up getting some more carriers. But they're playing as 1-2, and I don't know who's one, and I don't know who's two. They're doing great.
I'm telling you, this guy's talking faster and faster and faster and faster. Doesn't even take a breath. How can the guy talk like that with a pack full of bubble yum in his face? Upbeat, high energy, positivity, getting more and more hyped, talking faster and faster and faster and faster. But don't get fooled. Carroll is not only about good vibes, hanging loose, and talking really quickly. He is about pounding the run, big plays on defense, and hitting you with demoralizing gadget plays and then punching you in the face. Seattle just beat a playoff team in Minnesota in a game where Russell Wilson, an MVP candidate, did not play necessarily like an MVP candidate. In fact, they won that game despite the fact that Russ was involved in one of the all-time strangest pick sixes ever.
Russell Wilson facing a blitz, straight drop, ball's batted in the air, intercepted! Yes! Defensive touchdown, Minnesota Vikings! It's Anthony Harris. Well done, young man.
Yeah! Love that Viking call. That was bizarre.
Yes!
That was a strange pick six. One of the strangest ones you're ever going to see. And the fact that Russ was at the center of it makes it even more bizarre because Russ always does, literally always does, the right thing in the right situation, the smart thing in a situation like that. But instead of knocking it down, he tipped it up. And he didn't just tip it up, he set it up for Anthony Harris. Earlier in the season, if Russ was not perfect, Seattle was not winning. He had to carry so much of the load for them that he had to make ridiculously absurd throws to keep them in games. Last night, he made a ridiculously strange move, and it didn't even cost them. So if you want to say Seattle plays down to their competition, that they rarely dominate an opponent for a full 60 minutes, and they play games that are too close, too many close games, what I would say to that is they're 9-1. In one-score games, like they're the anti-Chargers. If there's a way to make a game close, Seattle will do it. If there's a way to win a close game, Seattle will do that. And if that game is in prime time, look the hell out, because they're 29-5-1 in prime time under Pete. 19-2 at home in prime time. So when the lights are bright, the Seahawks show up, and so do the 12s. Again, I understand this part of it. For some of you, there may not be a more annoying group of fans than the 12s. The nickname even bothers you. You might not like Pete. You might not like Russ. I get it. That's fine. I'm not here to talk you off that. But you got to respect them. You better respect them because right now they're tied for the best record in the league. They've got first place in their division, and the road to the NFC West does go right through their yard. What I'm saying is, if you have been sleeping on Seattle, if you didn't buy in, you better stop. And you better buy in now. And if you're annoyed by Seattle, it's probably going to get even worse because they can play even better.
Seattle.
And you're going to be seeing Peter chomping, receivers dancing, Russ leading, and the 12 screaming. Get used to it. The NFC playoff push for home field is going to be epic. Three teams, the Hawks, the Saints, the Niners, all at 10-2. You got New Orleans hosting San Francisco Sunday. The Niners end their season at the 12s. So who you got? Who dat? San Fran or the 12s? Get up in here. Even you, Packer fan, you're sitting at 9-3, and your schedule is setting up very nicely. This is all about December football, all about what it is, what it should be, and the NFC is a mother. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
And I got to admit, I have never heard Pete as fired up as he is right now. I mean, I've heard this guy get wired and talk fast, but nothing like after last night's game.
It felt like a championship game in the stadium. Fans were just extraordinarily good tonight, and it was just felt as good as we could ever remember in terms of their energy and juice, and it just makes it so much fun to be part of this whole thing. And so thrilled
whoa,
to see
whoa,
that
whoa,
came to life.
Whoa, and, whoa, 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 easy. Easy, BBP. Easy. Give me a breath. Can you slow it down? I can't even follow what you're saying.
It felt like a championship game in the stadium. Fans were just extraordinarily good tonight, and it was just felt as good as we could ever remember in terms of energy and juice, and it just makes it so much fun to be part of this whole thing. And so thrilled to see that came to life. And with this.
Easy, Pete. This guy's the oldest coach in the league. He hates that. He doesn't sound like it. He doesn't look like it. What would you give to have a fraction of this guy's energy? Damn, Pete. Whoa, whoa, slow down. When asked what he thought about Russ digging deep on what was not his best night and finding a way to make plays late, this is what Pete had to say. When asked also whether he thought that this team had this kind of ability to run the ball as effectively as they did against a Viking defense, Pete offered this. So, Pete, bottom line it. You've been there before. You know what it takes. Does the NFC now officially run through your squad? One of a kind. Nothing like him. And he's feeling it. That's got to be unsettling. The faster he talks, the better they play. The better they play, the faster he talks. Easy. 1-800-636-8686. All right. In addition to all of that, once again, I've got three interviews, but they're not until hour number three. So we're wide open for 2 hours, unless something changes. I want to talk about Josh Shaw. Do you remember that name? It might ring a bell. There was a rather unbelievable story involving him back in the day, and now there's another unbelievable story involving him today. I've got that for you. 1-800-636-8686. Duval!
Duval!
Mustaches up. He's back. Gardner Flint Minshew, the second, a.k.a. Beowulf, got his job back and should have probably never lost it in the first place. My thoughts on that a little bit later on. I want to talk about LSU. Did you see the brawl for the sod? How very SEC of them. People brawling over dead grass. Got some thoughts on the Redskins. And the fact that really nobody in the district gives a damn about them anymore and hasn't for a long time. 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, dear Jim, what's this forward pass I keep hearing about? Throwing the ball downfield is legal now? Please advise. Signed, Kirk Cousins. Again, it's lazy. He's not the reason they lost that game. It's really easy, really lazy, really convenient to just go and say, yeah, there he goes again. The $84 million man. Look at his number. Look at his numbers on Monday night. Look at his numbers in prime time. Look at his numbers on the road. It's not his fault they lost that game. Easy, lazy, convenient, fat, hot take-ish. Did you watch the game? Do you know anything about football? It's not his fault they lost that game. Hey, Rome. So, Kirk Cousins is 0-8 when the lights are brightest. Big deal. At least he never rented out an entire bar for his friends and family to hear him sing his way to an 0-12 record in the smack-off. While Russ Lee, yours, Caleb in Green Bay.
Caleb in Green Bay, he's the man. Caleb in Green Bay's got great smack. Caleb in Green Bay says, I want to win the smack off, yeah. Caleb in Green Bay's a great, 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 great caller to the jungle. He's from Green Bay, he's a fine clone, I'll take him all day. Uh-oh, Caleb in Green Bay, he trashes every clone that gets put in his general direction. He's a tremendous caller. Yeah, yeah, Caleb in Green Bay, he's very good at making calls. A clone steps up to Caleb in Green Bay, he trashes him, that's what he does. He's a wonderful person, he's a wonderful man.
Clones, the new hit single, Caleb in Green Bay is a Great Caller, is available right now on iTunes and Spotify. I'm not joking. Bump it in your car. Bump it at your workplace.
I might.
Bump it on your Peloton. Romy, we in America's Dairyland, thank you for your consideration. We are the Walrus.
Caleb in Green Bay. And if I'm not mistaken, that is available on iTunes. So he got dude who composed the great Jason Avant song, and he got him to do a song about Caleb in Green Bay. Brian and Charlotte, why are you cracking him for that? That was great. War Irate Craig slamming a copy of When Every Day is Friday Night on the librarian's desk and screaming, take that for data, when she tells him to stop hogging the free computers.
Take that for data.
1-800-636-8686. All right, lots more to come. And again, three interviews. All in hour number three. A little unusual, meaning you should call me right now. Troy Polamalu, Deontay Wilder, Jadeveon Clowney. Are the Seahawks the team to beat? Not only in the NFC, but the NFL right now. All of that still ahead. I am Jim Rome. Phone lines are open. Let's do some calls. We'll hit them when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Now you can be passive and sit back and lay out and wait to find out what I'm talking about. Or if you want to bring something to it, dictate the situation, set the agenda yourself, go right ahead. This email is from Aaron in Iowa. Hey, Rome, I know two guys that should never be mic'd up ever again on Monday Night Football. Russell Wilson and Booger McFarlane. Aaron, the problem with that is one of the two is one of the voices of Monday Night Football. So he will be mic'd up again. The other guy is an MVP candidate. Some would say the front runner. Pretty good chance that if he agrees to, they're going to mic him up again too. Especially when you consider how well Seattle plays in prime time. So I think that's probably not the last time those two guys were mic'd up on a Monday night. I know Booger will be. Booger is one of the guys in the booth. They're going to mic him up. It's kind of hard to do to be a color analyst if you're not mic'd up. Look, I don't want to talk about the broadcast. You want to talk about the game, let's talk about the game. If you want to talk about Seattle and what they're doing this year at 10-2, let's hit that. If you want to talk about Minnesota and where that leaves them, we can do that. I'm not here to be media critic. I'm not here to talk about the other shows. Never have been, never will be. You know this. Why do you keep doing crap that you know I don't want to entertain? That's my question. You know where I'm coming from. Why are you pushing those buttons? Why are you doing that? You know I'm not going there. You know I'm not about that. All right, so really quickly, LSU is having a killer season. Still plenty of work to be done, but they have put themselves in a position to possibly rip their first natty since 07. Next up, the SEC title game with Georgia. Now, as far as the schedule goes, the home games for LSU ended this past Saturday with that 50-7 beatdown of Texas A&M. And since the Tigers will not be back on their own field for months, the school has already started with their planned renovations of Tiger Stadium. Renovations which include tearing up the grass to improve the drainage system underneath it. All in all, over 3,000 slabs of sod were removed from that stadium. And instead of hauling it away to a dump, LSU school officials instead smartly stacked them in a nearby parking lot and told the fans, come get a piece of history for free. So quarterback Joe Burrow may rip the Heisman this year, but whoever decided to Jedi mind trick LSU fans into doing the university's yard work for them deserves some kind of honor as well. Because there's not a more heady play in the history of land excavation than rebranding slabs of dead grass as some sort of souvenir and making people drive in from all over the state to come and get it. And if you think that nobody showed up yesterday to get their paws on some lawn divots, then you do not know SEC football fans. You don't know LSU fans. Because the school advertised the giveaway starting at 4 p.m. And a bunch of lunatics lined up as early as 10 in the morning for free dead sod. It wasn't even going to start until 4 p.m., and they showed up at 10 a.m. on a workday to get their free dead grass. Imagine camping out in your rig for 6 hours just to ransack some pallets of sod. Imagine telling the boss, yeah, I'm not coming in. Why, you don't feel well? Oh, no, I'm fine. I feel great. It's just that, well, there's some patch of dead grass with my name on it, and I'm going to go get it. Given the amount of people who showed up yesterday, I'm pretty sure everybody's boss was also in that parking lot waiting to haul away LSU's yard waste. And best of all, the event was scheduled to run from 4 to 6 p.m. Think about that. What do you have on your calendar? Oh, I'm going to get me some sod. 4 to 6 p.m. 4 to 6 p.m. or in small print, until supplies last. According to WBRZ, who apparently had nothing better to do than cover a dead grass giveaway, that event lasted until 4:02. It took all of 120 seconds for crazed LSU fan to make off with 3,300 chunks of sod. And since there was only one parking lot attendant working the event, people were treating the pallets like a bucket of Halloween candy left out on the doorstep and taking as much as they could possibly carry. The only thing better than LSU Jedi mind tricking a bunch of Hank Hills into doing their yard work for them was all the angry tweets from the fans who did not get their free sod. Wal McNeely tweeted in disgust, quote, how could they be out at 4:02 p.m. when they were supposed to start at 4? Now I have to fight traffic to get home, end quote. And he was far from the only person pissed. Kyle Crane thumbed out, quote, they only had one guy staffing the parking lot? What a mess, end quote. Ashley Clark wrote, quote, you have to be kidding me. It's all gone, end quote. That's an all-timer. That's got to be one of the best giveaways ever. It had everything. Trickery, anarchy, understaffing, poor organization, abuse of the honor system for sod, angry tweets from people who didn't get their free dead grass, and more. LSU should stop paying the city of Baton Rouge to empty their dumpsters at Tiger Stadium and just tell the fans, hey, hey, come and get some history. Come and get some history for free from the trash bins out back every other week during the season. I mean, clearly some of these weirdos will take whatever they can get, will believe whatever you tell them. Hey, you want a piece of history? Come empty our trash cans. Hey, you want some history? Come clean our toilets. The question I have now for the people who did make away with that sod, what the hell are you going to do with it? Are you going to frame it? Are you going to put it in a humidifier? Are you going to replant it? If there was any value to the slabs, best believe the university would not have piled them up in a parking lot and given them away for free. So you can go ahead and stop working that Craigslist ad. This is not the Berlin Wall. It's not even a brick from Wrigley Field. It's dead grass from a stadium and a field that still exists. Are you going to line up for discarded paint chips next time they throw on a fresh coat of paint on the goalposts? Wait, don't answer that. I know you will. It is the SEC. You are an LSU fan. I know. My only other question regarding that whole episode is this. Did anybody see an older man in a white cap looking around, maybe rocking some KU garb? He goes by the handle of the Mad Hatter. Come on now. You know my man Lester had an infatuation for that Cajon-tufted airgrass. You selfish bastards. Better have saved some if he wasn't there. You're lucky he even ate that for you, bastards.
You're lucky she even performed
ate that for you,
bastards.
Leave Lester alone. Better have saved him some. Better have saved Lester some. I don't know what's better. People going and taking all the sod in 2 minutes, or people crying that they didn't get any of the sod because they didn't get there on time. And if you're not there 8 hours early, you're late. 1-800-636-8686. And if you did get a slab, what are you going to do with it now? When we come back, the latest on Josh Shaw. If you think you know that name, you might, and I'll tell you why. Gardner Minshew, back with the Jags. Actually, never left the Jags, but back to being the man with the Jags. All that is still ahead. Your phone calls as well. First up, though, here's a sports update. Andrew Bogish has it.
Yeah. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday is another NFL on CBS doubleheader, a really good one at that. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens going on the road to take on Buffalo. So the Bills with an opportunity to shut everybody up who says, who have you beaten? Then you get a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. The Patriots are welcoming the Chiefs. And it all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. And I will be back for that. I'm making the trip to New York, and I will be a part of that program. Can't wait to get back there. Make a note of it. 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Rome, were you talking about free grass? Where? Signed Hawk, snapping to attention in the control room. Casey, New Hampshire. War Hawk, averaging about 4 hours of sleep each night with two tiny kids in the house. On Twitter, Jamie in Green Bay. The people who ran the 2020 Ryder Cup ticket lottery must have been in charge of that dirt giveaway. And Mark Moda tweets, Rome, you do realize that the L in LSU is for Louisiana, right? Yeehaw, mama! Let's carpet the double wide with sod. Aaron in Austin tweets, did that slack jaw say that he has to, quote, fight traffic now? That neck acts like Baton Rouge is Los Angeles. Yeah, there's not a problem with fighting traffic if you get your free dead grass. But if you go out there and you get shut out and you don't get any free dead grass and then you got to fight that Baton Rouge traffic, that's got to suck. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so in one of the all-time legendary news dumps, the NFL announced on Friday, Black Friday, the day where everybody is either shopping or sleeping, that Arizona Cardinal Josh Shaw had been suspended through at least the 2020 season. All right, so they announced that on a Friday. Total news dump that a guy is suspended at least through next season. And if you're wondering, what the hell would you have to do to get suspended for at least an entire season plus? Gambling on football. Now, if you're wondering to yourself, first, does the punishment fit the crime? I'll get to that. But number two, I know that name, Josh Shaw. Why do I know that name? Wait a minute. Is that the same Josh Shaw who was at USC and suffered two sprained ankles after jumping from the second story of an apartment complex to save his 7-year-old nephew who was drowning in a pool. Remember that legend? Remember how we were going on about what a hero that guy was? Jumped off the second floor to save a drowning nephew. Amazing story. Too bad we came to find out that he made it all up. It was a lie. He lied about that. Yes, that same guy. So when you tell a lie like that, you have to wonder, what else is this guy lying about? What else might this guy be into? Now we know. Because as weird and as dumb as making up a story about saving a drowning nephew to cover for something else was, this is even worse. Even dumber. All right, so how serious does everybody take this? So seriously that the league completely buried the story on Black Friday because it is the league's worst nightmare. It's every league's worst nightmare. They take it so seriously that Shaw got hit with a worse punishment than Myles Garrett. Remember, Garrett took off Mason Rudolph's helmet and damn near brained him with it. Yet Josh Shaw is getting a longer suspension. That's how serious leagues take athletes betting on sports. It's what scares them the most. This goes back to that age-old debate about Pete Rose. How did he get a lifetime ban? Why was he banned for life when there are so many worse guys who've done so many worse things? And the answer is, in professional sports, there almost is nothing worse than gambling. I mean, there are felons in the Hall of Fame who have done extremely repulsive things. However, gambling is the one thing that can bring down an entire sport. Like, if you gave the commissioners of each of the big four leagues, truth serum, they would rather have all their players up to their eyeballs in bullroids and hitting each other with what Joaquin calls equalizers on the field than have even one guy betting on a game. Because betting, of course, goes right to the integrity of the sport. It makes you think that it might be rigged. And sports don't work if people think that they're rigged, they're fixed, they're scripted, the outcome is predetermined. Once you have that trust violated, it's nearly impossible to get back. It's the one rule that everybody in sports knows. If you're an athlete, you better not bet on sports. And you sure as hell better not bet on your own sport. But that's what Shaw did. In fact, even better, he went one step worse. In fact, a couple of steps worse. According to ESPN, Shaw went to the Caesars Sportsbook on November 10th and made a parlay bet on the second halves of 3 Week 10 games. Now, again, the fact that an NFL player is betting on one game is a major red flag. The fact that an NFL player is getting exotic with it, with a 3-team parlay on the second half of games, is a parade of red flags. And it gets even worse because one of the games that he bet on was a Tampa Bay game. Yeah, it's not great because last year, Josh Shaw played for Tampa Bay. So that's way too close for comfort, right? This guy got down on a team that he played for last year. Way too close to comfort. Actually, we blew past way too close for comfort a while ago. An NFL player betting on the NFL is way too close for comfort. An NFL player betting on a team that he played for last year is pretty much insane. But I know a bunch of you are going to come in here and say, hold up, Rome. If he's betting on Tampa Bay to win, that's not a problem. To which I would say, hold on now. The Bucs were 1-point favorites in the second half, and the Bucs were playing, wait for it, the Arizona Cardinals. So, if that reporting is correct, and my understanding is right, Josh Shaw, who had been signed by the Cards and is on injured reserve with the Cards, bet against the Cards. I mean, that is the gold standard of what you simply cannot do. That is a factory of red flags. And yes, I know that Shaw is on injured reserve and has not played with the Cardinals, so maybe he was thinking it wouldn't matter, that he was barely a member of the team anyway. Except that's not how the league sees it, nor should they. What they see is a guy who's with the Cards betting against the Cards. And that might be the dumbest thing ever. I mean, seriously, you can't get any dumber than that. Well, actually, you can. And Josh Shaw did. Because sources told ESPN that when Josh Shaw filled out his application for a betting account with Caesars, he listed his occupation as professional football player. Are you kidding me with that? I mean, I don't know whether or not to respect the honesty or salute the idiocy. But can we really respect the honesty of a guy who said that he jumped out of an apartment building to save a drowning nephew when that was not true? I mean, between the nephew story and this one, I'm starting to get the sense that Josh Shaw might not be the brightest guy ever. What NFL player goes to Las Vegas to bet on NFL games, decides to mix his own team into a three-team parlay, bets against his own team, and also includes on the application that he is, quote, a professional football player? Did my man sign this thing, Josh Shaw, number 27, Arizona? Was he walking around the sports book in a Josh Shaw gamer? Maybe wearing shoulder pads, some eye black, and a helmet, so everybody knew exactly who he was. And for the record, this is not a reflection of the Arizona Cardinals. This is entirely a reflection on Josh Shaw. Because everybody knows you can't bet on games. And yet this guy didn't just bet on them. He practically advertised that he was betting on them. He couldn't wait to tell the world that he was a pro football player betting on pro football games. And now, because of that, he's out of the league through next season and probably forever, either through suspension or the fact that no team is going to want to be associated with him. The next time you fill out a betting account application, you can just write former professional football player on the occupation line, because you're never going to get back into the league. Whenever there's a situation like this, when somebody's doing something like betting on games, you have to wonder, is that like a one-off? Is that a total rogue? Or are there other guys like him? I've got no idea. I have no idea if there are other NFL players betting on games. I hope not. But I guarantee that if there are, none of them will be as dumb as Shaw. He's in a league of his own. He is one of one. Take a bow, my man, because that is legendarily stupid. There's dumb, and then there's Josh Shaw dumb. And if anything, Josh, everybody knows, with those pass defenses, you should have bet the over 52 on that one. That alone shows that you're an amateur at this. Or that's what I'm led to believe. A professional football player putting on a betting app, his occupation, professional football player. Unbelievable. Let him back in. I want to see if he can top that. I thought nothing would top him lying about jumping out of a building to save a drowning nephew. And he did. Let him back. See what he can do next. Stay tuned.